The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
I wonder, would a 1.4 million euro security hut withstand a nuclear attack? For that price, you think it would. We get to that after 5 o'clock. But let's talk about the tourism industry, because the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation had a conference today at which over 400 industry leaders attended, as well as the Tourism Minister, Catherine Martin, to talk about the future of tourism in Ireland. But Ona Mara Walsh, as Chief Executive of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, did you get the impression from the Minister that she seems to think that we have enough tourists coming into the country that we don't necessarily need to be looking at growing this industry?
Hi, Matt. Yes, we had a tourism conference in Dublin, and as you say, 400 industry leaders here. We had a whole variety of speakers, one of which was the Minister for Tourism. It was obviously 6 days before the budget, so there was a lot of focus on, you know, what sort of, you know, budget that we might get, and would we get pro-tourism measures. And, you know, the Minister, I think, is very much in favour of the tourism sector and is keen to push some of the issues. But I think one of the concerns we have is that, for example, the 9% VAT rate, which the industry is very keen on, particularly for the food services sector, is a responsibility of the Department of Finance. So the Minister for Tourism, I think, is in our camp. And we know, for example, the Minister for Enterprise, Peter Burke, has said publicly that the 9% VAT rate should return and tourism should be supported. But I think the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Public Expenditure, we're not sure where they stand. So there's still...
That we know where they stand, that they have said about how much money is available for tax cuts in the budget, that if you were to change the VAT, it would take about half of that 1.4 billion. And that then would mean that everybody who's expecting a reduction in USC or changes in the bans in relation to personal taxation would lose out, and they're not going to be allowed to lose out. You're not going to get that 9% tax rate.
Well, you know, I think the arguments in favour of the 9% VAT rate for the food services sector, remember, not for the totality of the tourism sector, but for the food services sector, so that's the restaurants, the cafes, the pubs that serve food, I think it's a fairly compelling argument. I mean, you have over 600 restaurant closures around the country, so there is talk often of, you know, 500 million euro cost to the 9% VAT rate for food services sector, but that just looks at the costs and actually doesn't look at the benefits. So keeping those businesses afloat, the concern we have is that there are tourism towns up and down the length and breadth of the country, along the Wild Atlantic Way and so on, that are being hollowed out because you have food and restaurant closures and tourist attraction closures, and therefore the tourism product is diminished. That's the big concern we have. So there's a huge cost to not adopting a pro-tourism budget next week. This is the largest indigenous industry. This is the biggest regional employer. There's 30,000 SMEs in the sector. There's 270,000 employees. So a pro-tourism budget is really, really important because the sector is not in a strong place at the moment.
Okay, but do you get the impression, though, that the Green Party and the Tourism Minister, Catherine Martin, would be happier to see more people stay at home and holiday in Ireland rather than flying abroad, and aren't too pushed about the numbers who come in from overseas because they don't like aviation, they don't like the carbon issues that arise, and that as a result, tourism, as they might see it, maybe is plateaued?
Well, our moderator, Dervil MacDonald, put that very question to the Minister today, and the Minister rejected it. I mean, she is in favour of sustainable growth for the sector. The sector, and you know, I'm an industry representative, so I think the same thing. The sector has got to be responsible, it's got to grow responsibly, but also it has got to be commercially successful because, you know, the two have to coexist. A great example that we were talking about at the conference today is the Shannon cruisers that have all moved to hydro-treated vegetable oil, thereby reducing their carbon footprint by over 90%. So that allows for commercial growth at the same time as being carbon responsible. And we have to get to the same situation for the overall sector. So I think the Minister is pro-tourism. I mean, she's battled hard for tourism during the bad days of COVID and so on. We would like to see more attention now to some of the issues that are affecting the sector. But everyone is very aware in the sector, is very, very aware of the environmental responsibilities, and everyone's committed to climate action.
Owen, there are no messages coming in from listeners saying that it's too expensive to holiday in Ireland. And even if you were to get the 4% reduction in the VAT, wouldn't the price of eating out for many people and staying in Ireland be still too high for them, in that they think there's better value in going abroad?
Well, the decision on what a business does with the VAT discount or increase in that matter, and remember there was an increase last year, that's down to each individual business. I think a lot of food businesses, if they saw the VAT reduction, they just wouldn't be able to pass it on because they would need to have it to buffer their profit margin, which has been massively eroded. I mean, I know there's a lot of sort of anecdote about high prices and poor value for money, but a lot of the survey, independent surveys that are done by the likes of Fortune Ireland and Red Sea actually point to Ireland still being a value for money destination, both for the international tourist and the domestic market. I mean, we are an extremely high cost economy, you know, whichever way you look at it, labour, energy, insurance, the VAT rate for food services, as I say, was increased last year. That is bound to find its way eventually onto the bill. But overall, the experience and the value for money is still positive in Ireland, and we've got to maintain that.
Now, what about the issue of the numbers coming through Dublin Airport? What does she have to say about that? Because it seems that the Greens are suggesting that people can fly in through Shannon or Cork instead. And a lot of people who believe in regional development say that would be a great idea. But the airlines are saying they want to fly to Dublin.
Yeah, and we had a couple of sessions on that. We had Kenny Jacobs from the GAA here, Donal Moriarty from Aer Lingus, and Mary Considine indeed from the Shannon Airport Group. And there is certainly a kind of an overarching argument that the cap does, if tourism is to grow, tourism, you know, 70% of the tourism economy is dependent on international visitation. And if the main gateway has an arbitrary cap on it, it's going to be very difficult for the sector to grow. By all means, the regional airports, particularly Cork and Shannon, should be bolstered and should be supported and should be allowed to grow. But the real growth potential is in Dublin, and the 32 million passenger cap, which effectively has been reached this year. If that's not lifted, the tourism sector is really going to struggle to grow. And I go back to my point about this being Ireland's largest indigenous industry and biggest regional employer. If you have a sector that, you know, as an island nation, no roads, no bridges, no tunnels, you know, the only way people can get here is by air or by sea. Obviously, the vast majority is by air. If you have a block and an arbitrary cap, the sector is going to struggle because we're not going to get the footfall.
Yeah, but she said today, research is pointing to about 38% of visitors, when they come to Dublin, land in Dublin, they go west. So does that not suggest that actually maybe that they should be landing in Shannon or in Cork and doing their stuff in West Cork and Kerry and up the West Coast before they head to Dublin, and then they can catch their flight back out of Shannon or Cork as well?
Yeah, and we would love to see Cork and Shannon grow. And in fact, they are growing. I mean, Shannon Airport alone is up 7% this year, which is very encouraging. But if you talk to the airlines, it's the airlines who make the decision where they land. It's not a government. It's not, me as a tourism spokesperson. It's Ryanair or Aer Lingus or Delta decide where they want to land. And they do that based on the demand of their passengers. And by all means, there will be an element of the aircraft, which is pure tourists. They would quite happily land in Cork or Shannon and depart from Cork and Shannon because that's where the tourism product they want to consume is. But the majority of the aircraft might be business travellers, they might be Irish people returning home, they might be visitors coming to see friends and relatives, and they want in the whole to come to Dublin, the main hub. So that's where the aviation economics is pointing. I mean, I would love to see Cork and Shannon grow. I think it would be very good for regional economic balance, but that should happen alongside the cap at Dublin Airport being lifted.
Are there enough hotel rooms available throughout Ireland, in Dublin and in other cities and in the towns and in rural areas, particularly when so many hotels have been used over the last number of years to accommodate those escaping the war in Ukraine and other refugees?
Yeah, well, the short answer is no. We do need, there's not enough hotel accommodation, and we do need significantly more. There's about 3,000 more hotel bedrooms coming on stream in Dublin this year, which is encouraging. But the rest of the country, there's not that much hotel development. And when you have 77,000 beds contracted to the government for refugee purposes or international protection purposes, then obviously that means that there's not adequate space for visitors. So we would love to see the government be much more sort of proactive in this space and incentivize hotel construction in particular parts of the country. And I mean, for example, the Midlands area, which is getting an awful lot of EU money through the Just Transition, which is obviously fantastic, and that's being spent on tourism products, you know, tracks and trails and attractions, but there's precious little places to stay. And you know, that money will be spent and it'll improve the tourism products, but there won't be an increased dwell time for the visitor because there won't be the overnight stays. So, you know, it's complex, it's multifaceted, but I think, you know, both in the coming budget and in the programme for government of the next government, I think we need tourism to be really thought of as a very serious, important economic engine.
Okay, one listener says the loss of those 77,000 rooms is killing tourism. Owen O'Mara Walsh, Chief Executive of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.